Hello, and welcome to the Strength to Be Human podcast with your host, author and playwright Mark Anthony Rossi. This show explores all forms of creativity for those searching for meaning and a place in the world. To err is human, but so is to love. Now, without further ado, here's your host.
Hi, folks. This is Mark Anthony Rossi, and welcome back to Strength to Be Human. We have another new edition over here. That's the Guest House edition, another new episode for that. And, of course, that is with our wonderful and most welcome co-host, John Patrick Robbins. John, thank you very much for being on again.
Yay. Thank you for having me on again, Mark. How are you?
Well, we're gonna do, for the first time here, we're going to do an entire show just on the one topic. And the reason why we're doing that is because not only is there so much to say about this topic, in many ways, it might be the most important topic of all. Because marketing, and that's what this topic is going to be on, is so important that you can actually handle rejection badly. You could submit like an idiot, and you can run around half naked. But if you don't market all the work that you've done, you just literally have wasted time. So it's that important. So we're going to talk about marketing.
Yeah, it's you have to have that tool definitely nowadays. That if you marketing is such a key thing to writing, you have to be good at it. To be honest, it's one of those things you cannot have a knack for. If you want any of your work really noticed out there, you really have to be good at marketing.
That is the God's honest truth, and I try not to be too brutal, but it's still important to be honest. Yeah. But I got a guest that's an interview that's coming up with John Nettles. And this is a guy that is pretty much an insider on publishing and marketing. And he knows a great deal. And we have an interview with him that's coming up. You'll hear it on Sunday. And, I mean, he is not only precise in everything that's going on right now in the market, everything from conventions to opening up bars to sell books. I mean, he has all kinds of things that he does. That he has done, he's helped, so he knows a great deal. But he doesn't mince words about what needs to get done and how to go about things. So he'll be able to talk a great deal about all kinds of creative marketing. He knows a lot about agents. He knows about how to put the book together. I mean, this is going to be a super fascinating one from the inside. So I'm really excited to have him on. But until then, you have us and some of the things that we've already done or some of the things we've had to tackle. I was just talking to John recently about how the Rock and Rollers now have to really get involved in marketing. It's part of even their album contract. You know, you got to have a website. You got to have a media presence. You got to have a social media gathering and blah, blah, blah. And they've seemed to take that in a stride. It doesn't seem to be a big deal to them. I've never heard one of them complain yet about it. They just seem to understand that that's part of what they have to do, which is a radically different position for many writers that continue to bitch and complain about this.
it's strange that people think that they don't have to do it, because I don't know why you would not realize that it's a key thing to have to me. And especially nowadays. And there's so many platforms to do so that you can really take advantage of. And I mean, most of them are free, so there's really no excuse on when it comes to marketing, you know?
There really isn't. And I know that even like 25, 30 years ago, there was still that old-fashioned notion about self-promotion being a phony way to go about things and not really honorable.
Yeah.
But now there is no such thing as that. You have to promote. So I don't even know if self-promotion is really a term anymore, because you got to promote your stuff. You got to be able to get things out there. It doesn't mean that everything out there that you're doing is by you, because you can obviously inspire people to review your book. You're not reviewing your book. Somebody else is. Mm-hmm. But you got to get the ball going on that. Same thing with the interview. You got to get an interview out there. You're not interviewing yourself, but you have to get the ball rolling to do that. And I think that once you get over this this old-fashioned notion that there's something wrong with promoting your stuff. And then you got to get through this other silly notion that for some reason you shouldn't have to do this because your work is done. Well, this is 21st century here. We're in 2019. When you finish your book, your work is not done. You're just beginning. The next stage is that you got to figure out how to get into people's hands, how to get people to know about what's going on. And I'm telling you, folks, sometimes there's writers out there, they don't want to market because they feel that it's a lot of work and they're not going to get a lot of numbers. It means sales. But guess what? Marketing is not just about sales. It's also to get the project out there so people know that it's out there, that it has a presence, that it has a site that's ready to explain it and people ready to read some of the samples and maybe even possibly to buy it. Because if you're doing things for a small company or you're doing things on your own, you know, in a self-published way, you're never going to get to another publisher. Smaller one, mid-list, big one, ever. If you haven't done anything to learn about how to get that project out there, you're never, ever going to get to those big publishers because guess what? They want to know what your plan is. They want to know what your marketing plan is. So if you refuse to do it for yourself, then how are you ever going to learn to do it for the guy when he asks you? In fact, they ask you before they even read your book, what is your marketing plan? I've seen some publishers say, unless you can tell me you got 5,000 friends on Facebook, we're not even going to look at your stuff. I've already had it personally happening to me where a company said, we like your marketing plan. I swear to God, Jim, they didn't even say anything about the book. I'm like, what the hell is this, John? I mean, really? Did you like the book? Mark, we really love the marketing plan. Really? I'm glad you like the marketing plan. Let me come over there and punch you in the head. I mean, are you serious? So this is the kind of stuff we have now. So, I mean, literally, they get more excited about the marketing plan than they get excited about your book. And this is a publisher, okay? We're not talking about some vanity place or, you know, doing it yourself or some weird stuff. Just a regular publisher. So that's how important this has become. It made me, in many ways, it probably overcast your book. But unfortunately, that's what we have to deal with. And if you don't really want to do this, I'm not the guy that's going to say, you're not a writer if you don't want to market your work. You're still a writer. It's just that you're not going to go anywhere. It's never gonna take the route that you want. It's not gonna take the path you want because you're helping stall it in a big way. There's so many people out there that are putting stuff out. There's so much stuff out there for the companies to deal with. There's so much out there to distract people from their personal income to spend on all their entertainment dollar, movies and Netflix and musicals and concerts and all this other stuff. So if you don't want to compete with that, or you don't think you have to compete with that, well, just, you know, do the old route and stick it in your trunk somewhere and keep writing something else. Maybe the aliens will find it in 200 years from now and publish it on planet Zeon. But until then, it's not going to go well on planet Earth.
No. That's the thing. You can have the absolute best book out there. If nobody knows about it, it's not going to matter. It might be the best in your mind, but you just have to be really good and adept at this thing nowadays. Is I mean, it's like you said, it's like two process, you know. You can go to me, I really like the marketing side of things, as anybody knows, and as I was mentioning to you, once the book is done, it's far from over. Once you write it, it's, you know, luckily I enjoy that side of when it comes out and, you know, getting it around there, getting interviews, doing all those things, because everything helps no matter what, as long as it's in people's mind that they know you got it out there. So it's having that drive. And if you really enjoy this and it'll, you know, it's a good thing, but yeah, you could have the best book in the world, but if nobody knows about it, it's not going to really go very far. So you
I'm not suggesting to writers, and listen to me carefully, writers, I'm not suggesting that when you do marketing, this is that something that you must fall in love with. You don't have to. I don't know about you guys, but I like having clothes on that are clean, but I'm not in love with laundry, okay? I'm not. I got to help do my kids sometimes, too, because they get a little lazy. Who loves that? But it has to get done. So you could look at marketing as just another thing in life that you don't have to do, that you have to get done. Going taking a car for oil change and sitting in some nasty garage or somebody for an hour. Mm-hmm. I mean, go running 2 miles. Who wants that? I don't know about you guys. I run, but I don't like it at all. I still do it because it's necessary. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. So we have plenty of things in our personal and our professional lives that we have to do that we don't like, but we still do it.
Mm-hmm.
So why not just add marketing to the list of the other dumb things you do that you don't like, but that become really important? So you could look at it like that, or you can look at it in just a very grown-up way. I don't really hate this. Here's some things I'm going to do to try to get some stuff out there and go about things. I tell you something, even because marketing is so important, that even if you half-ass marketing, it's still better than doing nothing.
Dope.
So there's plenty of stuff we're going to be able to outline and stuff that you can do that's not sophisticated, that you don't have to be some computer genius. Stuff that's easy, stuff that's free. There's just plenty of things you can do that doesn't even require $1 of your time or 1 hour of learning computer programming or something that's ghastly. God, I can understand. So sometimes I think folks don't like marketing just because they think it's going to be too hard. They think it's not going to make any kind of impact. They think it's going to be expensive. They think it's the same thing as, you know, advertising, like toothpaste on TV. No, there's a lot of things you can do that you're still putting the word out there that's not difficult, that's if not inexpensive, that's $0. So you don't have to take it so negatively, or you don't have to take it in such a manner that you don't ever want to go near it. But this is who you have to be in the 21st century, because the world isn't going to change back to where it used to be, okay?
Yeah, that's true. It's just a given nowadays that it's just something that, you know, you have
to
do.
And now it changes, you know. I know this kid that I went to high school with, and he was a friend for a long time, and we stood in touch for over the years. And he didn't want to go to college because he was one of those kids that he just had a mechanical gift, and he was great when he did the whole car. Because you know, we had mechanics in high school where I'm from, New Jersey. I went to the class just because it was part of what I had to do, but I didn't give two craps about it. You know what I mean? I didn't know a car. I didn't know a carburetor from a friggin' Hershey bar. Okay, I'm serious. Yeah. I mean, like you pointed out, I'm like, yeah, I think that's it. I don't know. I didn't care, but you know, I just one of those classes I got through, got it over with, didn't care. He's one of those guys that, I mean, he'd be there from the morning to the end of the day if he could. I mean, if it was any way for him to get his high school diploma and just stay in that damn class all day, he probably would have graduated just with that. So he went about classes like English or science just the way I went about the auto shop. He's just like, I got to do this stuff, but this is corny as hell. I don't care about Einstein. He's got weird hair, whatever, you know? So I remember talking to him over the course of time, and then many years later, he was telling me that he now had to get some continuing education on mechanics because cars were becoming more electronic. They had chips in them. They had computer things in them. And even though there was some mechanical similarities on things he's been doing for the past 20-something years, he now had to upgrade his skills to stay, you know, employed. And even this day, as I talk to him, he goes, yeah, I still love being a mechanic, but you know, he goes, a lot more stuff I had to learn. Yeah, he said, I even had to learn how to type so I can get onto keyboards, because now I have to do diagnostics on electronics inside the car. So it's not just about a whole bunch of grease monkey nonsense. Now he had to actually become somebody closer to what everybody else is doing with the computer and knowing about rebooting and replacing and diagnostic and all that stuff now. So he had to join the world whether he liked it or not if he wanted to stay the mechanic. So he's another perfect example of somebody that could not stay the same as he was. Even in the 1980s, he had to move ahead because the world was moving. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would have moved right past him.
Yeah.
That's what marketing is for us. If we don't stay on it, everything will move right past us.
It's like a necessary evil. It's just part of what our field definitely, the thing is, it doesn't have to be miserable either. It can be an enjoyable thing. It's not, of course, it's not the greatest thing in the world. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not like you get done with all this work and I think, wow, I can't wait to, you know, bust my hump doing something like that either. But it doesn't have to be miserable. As you know, I mean, it all really depends on the person. And of course, I said there's so many platforms you can use now
that are
free. You know,
I think
go ahead.
No, what I was just going to say is that when we look at marketing, we have to ask ourselves the deeply honest question. And this is not a question that you have to share with the world or anybody on the show, just yourself. Why are you writing? Are you writing for an audience, whether it's a small audience or a big audience, or are you writing just for yourself? Because the reason of why you're writing is really how you're going to market something then. I mean, you don't have to go to the ends of the earth if you're writing for yourself and a couple of family members you wanted to get the thing out and over with. Yeah, you don't have to go insane. But if you're writing for something bigger than that, even if it's literary and you still want to have some kind of audience, well, then there's definitely more that you have to do. So some of the things that you can do, and John will go over some more of himself, we'll just try to pick on the things that we're more interested in doing or found useful. One of the things that you could do is when you have your book done, or even before it's done, even if it's, you know, moving along, you can create a simple, remember this is free, Facebook page just on your project. You put the cover art on there already, you know, ways for people to contact you. You could put some samples of some of the stuff that you're doing, you know, and people can start getting interested in it until it's ready. Now you've built a small audience already. That's one way to do things. Another thing, your email. A lot of people don't use this at all, but there's a signature element on all email platforms. You go in there, you can write something. Yeah, this is Billy Bob Jones, and my book, you know, Cows Fart Too Much, is now available over at SkeeterPress.com, okay?
Yeah.
That's where you could do that. You could put that on there every time you have a communication with somebody. They're seeing that there, and the link is over there. It's a hyperlink that you're putting in there, the address. Boom, link that, goes right over to the places where they could buy the book. Or check it out, learn about it, whatever. There's something you could do super free, and it's always going to help you because it's always advertising for you, even when you're not even remembering that it's advertising. I mean, so I told this to some guy one day. He thought it was like the most ingenious idea in the world. I'm like, no, man, it's just stupid signature. It'll help. And he told me that a lot of times he didn't even think about it. He said sometimes people will buy the book or ask them questions about the book just because they saw that thing on the email. And, of course, what that person is thinking is that you actively did something to get their attention about your book. But the truth of the matter is, over the course of time, you don't remember the damn things at the bottom of your email anymore. It keeps working for you even when you're not thinking about it anymore. So it's a wonderful marketing device, super free, and that email could be used for other things. Sometimes people use their email about the books on personal or even professional stuff, just on a one-time basis or this and that or whatever. Next thing you know, you're getting a hold of somebody that you might not have thought about, you know, talking about the book, and now they're like, hey, you're an author of this and blah, blah, blah. So that's another super interesting thing right there. Your Twitter account, you can put the picture of your book and a little link about it. You can always do that. People will check that out and put a little hashtag next to it or, you know, hashtag, you know, cows that fart, you know, something like that for your book, you know.
Lovely title.
Yeah, lovely title for Billy Bob Jones. And I know that some people are very very good with Instagram. I'm not. I'll put a few stuff out there because I don't like to ignore a platform. But I know a few writers that they use it a lot. And I think they get away with it more to sell their books because, quite frankly, they're more photogenic. You're a pretty girl. It's probably going to help sell your book. I don't mean you have to do anything distasteful, but that's just the truth of life. So let's not lie about this because we're trying to be politically correct about something. It's not sexual harassment to say that a prettier person is going to probably sell a little bit more books on a more photo-intensive platform than not. I'm not putting my ugly Italian face over there, no. But I will put some cover art and a little link, and, yo, check it out. That's all I can really do. I'm not going to go over there and try to be a fashion model or anything, you know, hang out with friggin' Tom Selleck. But nevertheless, that's something you can do as well. Again, something that's quite free, not a big deal at all to do. And two of the other things, try to attract somebody or talk to people to review your book.
Mm-hmm.
Could be friends, relatives, college acquaintances, whatever. They do a couple of, paragraphs or something on one of the platforms that's carrying your book. Right there, you got a review. That's going to help sell your books. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, try to get some interviews. There's plenty of people out there that do interviews, you know. The Wombwell interview series that's run by Paul Brooks is a big example of something that extremely useful and influential, and don't cost you anything, and he's a really nice fellow. You can get on plenty of shows, radio shows, podcast show. This show does some interviews with people. Again, talk about your book. There's another free vehicle for you to promote your work. That's just some of the stuff that comes to my mind right away. I know you have plenty of stuff, and, you know, go with that, John.
Yeah, no, there really are a lot of avenues. I mean, I started avenues as well as doing my own. At one time, Off the Wagon, I had to think about the name of it. And I used to interview people. I mean, there are plenty of things. Like you said, Instagram. Marketing is basic of when I run my mag, Under the Bleachers. We did a lot of really fun things with that, is like with the memes and everything that went out that helped bring that back. I mean, so there's a lot of great formats you can do. As you mentioned, Paul Brooks, who really does those, are great. I mean, I've done those, his interviews, as well. Interview series, I was on there. There's so many good formats that you can do out there that are known, and just a little work. I mean, just look around, you know, even, and most fellow writers will kind of point you in the right direction as well too, because, you know, we do kind of have to help one another, but there's so many now that it's not terribly complicated, and it doesn't ever hurt just to ask people. I mean, if you happen to know an editor, if you have somebody that, you know, there's most people will kind of point you in the right direction.
Keep in mind, folks, that some of the easiest things on marketing are just you stumble over and laugh and you think about how simple it is. So, like, I'll give you an example. You get an essay or a poem or, you know, a small piece of writing published in a publication. It doesn't make any sense to not have a link to your most recent project on there, because they're going to put a small bio. That's something going to put on there. If somebody likes that piece, well, guess what? They're going to go down there, check that out, hit that link, and they might just become a follower of you, and now a fan because of doing that. So that's another important thing. And even if you are not a literary writer, I don't care, even if you're just a novelist and you're doing something that's not small, no one says, because a lot of these publications, they have this, where they'll allow you to print a small piece of your writing so that people can read it, and then you can put it at the bottom there. You can get this full novel over at this place, blah, blah. So you just have to tailor it a little bit, finding a good piece of your writing, and start sending out to various magazines. Plenty of them will take that. In fact, they might even take you more serious than me or John, because you've now already told them that you got this big novel out there that's been already published, and here's the link for it. So they might take that even more serious than a fiction piece or a poem. You know, you never know. But that's another way for you to actively get something done marketing-wise for your project that's free. Just a little bit of work. Send it out there. Mm-hmm. So it's not terribly difficult to do many of the things we're talking about here. We're giving you some of the easiest things to do in the world. Now, don't get me wrong. The things we're telling you are not the only things in the world.
No.
If you want to go crazy, you can spend a couple bucks on Facebook and try their advertising stuff, where they'll send you a link and your cover art to a whole bunch of places. I haven't found it effective at all, so I stopped doing it. It wasn't very expensive, but I didn't find it useful at all. Some people swear by it. I got somebody said that she sold 600 books with like $10 of ads. It could be because she's bilingual and she did the project in Spanish, and maybe she was able to connect to more Spanish people and they like the whole idea. I don't know. It's just my guess. Could be that. I don't really know. But she found the niche and she was able to make it work. And that's really what the whole the name of the game is. Find what you think is gonna work, and you know, and use it to the best of your ability. You could probably run a small ad in a literary magazine if you want about your book. They're usually very inexpensive. Yep. You can do that if you want. There's ads even on podcasts. You can spend a little bit of money and have them mention your book on a little ad on there. So there's plenty of things you can do that cost money that are not expensive that it might also help as well. I just got to make sure that, you know, there's going to be the audience for what you're trying to do. That's all. But however you decide to do this, whether it's free or you're willing to spend a little bit of money, it's important to understand that those are the steps unnecessary to start trying to move your project in the right direction. And you're going to be able to tell if it's working or not. It's not hard to do.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
Yeah. I mean, another thing that, of course, we didn't mention, but especially with the poets, is also, if you got a book out there, definitely go, and there's nothing wrong with going and doing a reading and, you know, taking your work out there. I mean, all those things, I don't know why I didn't mention that, but that's another thing is, you know, the more you get out there and the more anything you're doing that people are hearing your work or reading your work or seeing the cover or anything, there is really no bad publicity, so to speak. So you kind of have to be your own marketing machine nowadays, and it really doesn't have to be terribly expensive, and it doesn't have to be really terribly hard to do. It's not.
I remember James Nettles, he was telling me about some of the bar things they were doing, where they would ask the bar to let them come in and do a reading, and the reading can be a bunch of poems in a book. In his case, it was a part of a novel. The person just sat there for like 20 minutes and read a exciting part of the novel or something that was more engaging for the audience, but something that was interesting, and had the books out there with a table, and you know, people can talk to these people and maybe purchase things. I mean, if you think about it, folks, what better audience than a bunch of people out there half wasted on some alcohol now want to listen to your stuff and buy your books? That's great. That's wonderful, you know.
There you go.
That's better than bringing somebody home and not remembering their name the next morning. This is even better than that. It's safer, too.
There are a lot of bars that do, especially in the poetry thing, and that there are a lot that are doing that. And with writing, like you said, with no matter, not just one form of writing, but it's really a good thing to do, actually, because it's getting your work out there, and why not? It's, you know.
Well, he also shared with me about the conventions, and I didn't really know much about this because I've never tried it myself before. But he said that there were writers that would simply ask a convention, you know, if they can have a table in there. And a lot of times they will let them have the table for free or let them have it at a big discount because there wasn't the same thing as a software company or a company that was making action figures or, you know, a bigger company, you know. It's just a lady with some books, and they let him have it. So that allowed that person to have a really big access. And he does a lot of Scottish festivals things. He was telling me that the lady that did the book series, the Outlander, which become a very big popular TV show now, that's how she got started.
Yeah.
Reading a little bit about a book, talking to people about it. She went to all these various Scottish people because, you know, her hero in the book is from Scotland. And, you know, a lot of the book is in Scotland. It moves to other countries now and then, but mostly it's from Scotland, okay? And she got a good kick that way of some sales and wound up meeting people, and that was a good thing for her. So he says there's no reason why you can't try to connect into a convention. If you could find an angle, you know, in your book to talk to people about. I mean, don't get me wrong. If you're writing about you know, naked Buddhist dudes from the 4th century, and that's your whole poetry book's about that, you're probably not going to be jamming much at the Star Trek convention, you know? I mean, you got to be able to try to make some association to the convention. But if you got something, even as poetry, that's sci-fi related, hell, that could work there. And, you know, they have all kinds now. They have gun conventions. which means that at a gun convention, that's awesome for any of you people that are writing country or Western type of theme novels. Boom, that's a good place for that, because there's no way you can write one of those novels without having a gun around. I mean, it's just the way it is. Got to have a gun somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
So that's cool right there. They got a lot of fantasy ones now that you could probably do. A lot of people write all kinds of unusual fantasy type novels. So there's just plenty of places that you can go and market yourself and be in front of literally hundreds, if not thousands of people for some small price, you know, sit there and talk to people and see what they think. Pastor, you can get some cards out. I know that she had bookmarks she was giving out that have information on how to buy the book as well. So if they didn't buy the book then, at least they could bring something home, maybe think about it, you know, when they had some more time and then reflect on it. But she sold books, and it helped her.
Mm-hmm.
And it would help other people, too. So that's a real good place to try. There's nothing like that around where I'm living at, but there's a lot of communities that have, like, local access TV, which is free to go on there, and you can have an interview or even talk to people about stuff. Hi, I'm Jeremy Poindexter. And this is my book about how to make paper planes fly in a tornado and then maybe reach God. Okay? I mean, you can talk about stuff. You know?
Wow, these books, man.
Yeah, this is a podcast show. You got to make it somewhat fun. I don't want to just talk about serious stuff all the time. But
these authors are incredible. Where do I find them?
I tell you, I've seen some of these local access shows because I lived in New Jersey. We had one. And I actually was able to promote a series of plays that was getting done by mentioning a little bit about it on one of those shows. So it was helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But we had people on that they came out with some straight crazy stuff. I mean, one dude's talking about, this radio I built from Radio Shack, and I'm signaling the aliens, and I'm hoping they're going to land on my apartment building because I want to learn how to, like, to get to their planet, maybe they'll let me jump on the ship. I mean, this is the whole thing. The dude wasn't even, like, selling the book. He just wanted to tell you his whole plan, and they let him on there.
Wow.
All right, so if they're going to let half nutballs with UFO theories on these shows, then they should have no problem putting a nice, attractive, mid-age woman on who has a really strong poetry book on there and talk about some interesting things, okay? So you can get on there with everybody else. Why not? I mean, how could you be any crazier than that? No way.
That's true. There's so many formats, as you were saying, that it's just and the conventions are a big thing because they recently had one. It slips in my mind the name of it, but a lot of people were there. And a lot of small presses were there. And, it's really easy to get involved in these things. And there's usually always some way to contact any of these people who run these things online. So, you know, there never really is kind of excuse. I mean, it's never easy pushing out there, but I think it's a lot easier now.
It doesn't
have to be so,
I recognize that not everybody out in the audience of this show or out in the world are always going to live in some big place where they can get to something, you know. I'm close enough to Florida, so it has access to a lot of big things if I wanted to do that. And I think where you're at, you can get to some places as well. I'm sure there's parts of the country where it's not an easy thing. And so I would not suggest to people that, you know, you're going to have to drive 4 or 5 hours every time you want to do something. But, hey, if something big enough comes along that you can get involved in, it's going to be worth the trip then. Make a damn weekend out of it if you have to. Because remember, we're not asking you to do this, you know, so that we can praise you later. And we're not asking you to do this because some artistic council is going to give you a slap on the back. In the end of all ends, marketing is some kind of investment in yourself and in the project that you've done. That's really what it is. It's an investment. So if you got to drive 3 hours, or if you got to spend a weekend or whatever, I mean, I'm not suggesting you're doing this every time. I mean, only people could do it so many times, but it's still worth a shot, and it's worth an investment. Because, quite frankly, if you can't invest in your stuff, I mean, why are the rest of us going to do that?
Yeah, that's the thing. You don't have to know all these things and everything. It's just far easier. A little bit of research helps.
There's a lot of interesting things that people are doing. I saw something that Ryan Flynn Flanagan did, and he did like a poetry, like a poem in a poster, and then put it out to where the public could see it. That was really cool. Mm. And then I know this guy, I can't remember his name because I've seen it a couple of times. There's more than one guy doing this, but they'll put it on the, they'll put it, the whole picture on the Facebook. But he's out there by a bus stop. And, you know, bus stops have now become like poster places and advertising places. And they're not terribly expensive. Well, he got the cover art of his novel blown up into a poster with his name, the name of the, you know, book and everything, a little place at the bottom where you could buy it at. Bam, so that people can see it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could probably do that all across of all kinds of different ways if you want to. If you want to put, obviously that costs him a few dollars. I don't know how much it costs. It can't be terribly expensive because, you know, he's not running around on every cab driver in the world has a picture of his novel on there, even though that would be cool. Who knows how expensive that would be. But here's another guy that spent a few dollars for the investments to help his novel be sold. I don't know what the results are of that or not, and but what I do know is that that's just one way of many ways that marketing can get done on your project. It's really up to you. We're giving you some inexpensive or even not expensive, zero price ideas on how to market. But marketing is about whatever you can come up yourself with. I mean, there's plenty of I mean, I know a lady that she actually said, I want my book marketed, and I'm going to start on family and friends. I'm also going to start the church. So literally, she was putting cards about her book in the Bibles and the hymns at the church so everybody can grab one. She even told the pastor, hey, you know, you want me to have faith in God, and I haven't even seen God, but I can't have faith in my book that I wrote? Come on now. Let's go with the faith, baby. And, you know, I guess he couldn't, you know, mess with that because she wasn't trying to sell anything that was contrary to the beliefs of the church, so they were cool with it. There you go. I mean, there's a lot of clothy clashes at these things. You could do that. No one says you can't. People, I know somebody that sells books from the flea market.
Yeah, you can do that also.
Do that too. I mean, you never know how that could be, especially if you have the right type of book, and you know it could do well. You're getting real people traffic in there. No one says you can't do that. There's a lot of places, a lot of coffee houses that let you do this stuff. Starbucks is actually really good about that. They actually even let you put your poster or your cards on, and so does Panera, by the way, on boards for the public and the community to see. So you could be publicizing all these different Paneras, you know.
Yeah.
I know one lady, she did that so that they all can go to another coffee place after they went to Panera to eat to go, you know, see her that night. And then there's a little card there that you can link up if you want to buy a book or whatever. Some people are actually getting their sessions that they're doing at these coffee houses recorded by somebody, and then they put them on the internet. Hey, I'm sorry you couldn't miss that. You couldn't get to this thing. You missed it, but here you go. Now you can listen to it. Check it out. Here's the link at the bottom or whatever. Or even in the performance, they'll verbally say something. You can get this at Barnes & Noble. You can get this at Kobo. So...
yeah.
In the end, folks, the marketing is often just restricted by some of the things you can come up with. There are plenty of things you can probably come up with that me and John don't know about, haven't come up with, haven't even tried. And I'm okay with that because the show is not about telling you this is the only way to do things. It's just to remind you that you really need to try to get involved in it. You need to try to get invested in it. Start from the smallest things and go from there. Think about things that you can possibly do that might be interesting, you know, or creative, and go about that. Some people even link up together, you know? I think he was mentioning to me that a lady couldn't, I don't know, even though they reduced the price, she couldn't afford the table at one of the conventions. So she asked another author, hey, can we cut the cost on this table? We can both try to sell our books. Split it.
Mm-hmm.
That worked out fine, too. Nothing wrong with that. So... at least they both got out there, you know, and tried to do something. But that's what it is. You got to try to be able to do something for a while. I don't know. I don't know about you, but and maybe you do feel this way, but some people, they can view market as a way to sort of like take a break from writing. There's nothing wrong after you did a big project to get away from it for a little while and go do this. It's another thing that you could do. Mm-hmm. It's still artistic. It's still important to your writing, mm-hmm. but it's not writing. So you don't have to go. I mean, I don't know how people breeze from one project to the next project. I don't want to do any marketing work. I just want to release another 5 more books this year.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, because by the time you do market something, you can be so burnt out, you're not going to want to do anything anymore. So it's a good, it's a good breather, too.
Yeah. That's me personally. That is how I am. I like the break from when I get done with a project to marketing, as I really do like marketing, because I honestly, I am one of the more isolated writers. People think I'm really close to a scene, and I'm not. There is no scene. So I have to use the internet. And so that's where I even once again go into referencing my mags. That's why I started doing, okay, well, I can't get to any kind of reading within. I mean, we're talking a lot more hours. We're talking about going over states, you know, well, not next door, literally.
Mm-hmm.
It's so I started doing it. We started streaming the readings that were live, that were just people were doing off their computers. So it's like there's tons of things, and I had to embrace the internet. So I really do enjoy that time between projects of the marketing, and it is creative, and you can actually have a lot of fun with it. It doesn't have to be so staunch or anything else. And you know, the more, if I look at it kind of like breathing, I mean, you don't sit there and sweat, well, man, I've got to get up and breathe today. Well, yeah.
do a lot of creative, crazy things. They got, there's a couple of different programs. There's a couple of different companies, but mm-hmm. they got one here where if you take a quote from one of your books that's out there already and you put it into this little quote like cube, and then you can put your name and the name of the book out there, you can put that out there and it gets on Google. And then when people see it, that's another way for them to find out about your book.
Mm-hmm.
There's some girl, and I think it's a girl, because, you know, sometimes names, you can't tell if it's a guy or a girl. So I'm thinking it's a girl. I could be wrong. Sorry, girl, guy, whatever. Okay, sorry. But this person, because I don't know the gender, they literally did an Instagram where they have a cute cat, and then the cat tells you stuff about the book. Yeah, my owner pushed me out there to push this book, or they won't feed me. So buy the book. You know, crazy, funny, weird things. Just for the fun of it. But it's something to get people to think about. That's the whole thing that what marketing is all about. Helping you figure out ways to think about new things to get people out there to consider it.
Yeah.
That's what it is in a nutshell.
Yeah. It's always finding a niche. I mean, it was the National Lampoon, say their magazine at the time, once it was in, it was literally going down when they had that funny cover with a, you know, person was holding like a gun to a dog's head. And of course it's a complete joke, but it just, it, any thing that's fun, you don't have to do anything outrageous, but you spark interest, because once again, and nowadays you have such a big platform for people to see things. They're not just seeing it like in within your state, they're seeing it all across the world now.
That's so true.
You know, and you can share things. Look at these groups, for instance. Here's one really good example. Like, now I know when I put work out or anything else, there's a million Facebook groups, right? And I don't care if you got to go join them all. You don't have to, but most are very friendly, and you can get, and then you're completely in a different, you know, if your writing is like whatever it may reflect, whether it's fantasy, well, there's a million different groups that are all, you know, into that. So go join them and put a link up. Most don't mind. Make it not. And that's another thing. Put a little time into what you're doing and, you know, make it unique, and there you go. It's free. It's a way to reach people that you don't know where they are. They could be in Iceland for all you know. And yet you're reaching people, and good art and things like that. It, you know, it does speak to people. Good titles as well too. That's another thing.
That's the key phrase from what John is saying. The truth of the matter is, marketing is about reaching people. You just got to figure out how you want to do it, because there's so many established ways to do it. There's so many unique and creative ways to do it, like we've talked about here. And there's stuff that you could probably come up with yourself that we haven't thought of before.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's tons of things. I mean, you know, and one thing I can definitely compliment you on, Mark, is especially like when we did when we did gas pumps and things like different projects at that, where we had the, to me, they're like little mini books that you could put out there that had a couple rides, and then they had a buy link at the end. It's like, so it was like a really easy thing to, and actually that really was a really cool thing. It's one of the more unique things I had seen at the time. And it's still really awesome to me that it's, you know, people get a little sample of what you're doing, and then, oh, okay, well, they're digging it, and then they can go boom right to the site, and then they can purchase your book once again. It can be, you can really be creative. It's another way to be completely creative.
Yeah.
And do stuff that's really awesome. Once was really cool.
What John is mentioning is I'm a cheapskate. I don't believe in spending any real money on marketing. So I'm always thinking about what can I do to convert something that's out there that could be a useful free tool. So I found out that there's this company that you can pay, okay? And what they discovered was that the market for catalogs for auto parts, it went downhill because a lot of auto places became franchise joints, and they didn't use a physical paper catalog anymore. Everything was on a computer database, right? So they said, well, we're gonna start putting these things out of business, and because the paper and the printing, it's just very expensive, right? So this company came along, and it marketed itself to where it said, listen, we'll put together an electronic catalog of all the different parts, and you just got to push buttons on this catalog, and you can order stuff. And it was more helpful to the smaller franchise auto shops. So a guy literally in the middle of things can look through stuff and say, I want to order this. Boop, boop, boop. Hits his button. He can literally do it on his phone.
Mm-hmm.
Go get some stuff ordered to get sent over to his shop while he's running his business. So I said, holy moly, that guy's pretty cool, because I can easily see on a smaller version of that I could put some poems on there with the artwork and some links, because remember, the links was really part of this whole, what I call like a digital catalog. It was part of that process. So I'm like, well, see, I don't want to pay any money for this. Well, I found out the site that does this, they'll give you 8 pages for free and they won't charge you nothing. So I'm like, oh my God. So I literally just crafted a few things on there, a few poems and the cover art and the link. And we made that. It was called a flip book. It literally opens up like a real book, and it's a good marketing tool.
Really awesome.
Put it on the internet. You could give it to a friend, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other things on there that could be possibly used one day. Might be able to figure out how to put a video on there or different vocal links, and there's probably things I can expand on it. But the important thing was is that it was another interesting and free marketing tool. You have to do this. Like I have a site for my publishing company, Soma Publishing, and I was told by everybody that on some of the ideas that I had, you know, it'll be at least $3,000 to $5,000 to get it done. Yeah, they're like, that's a low figure for a good website, Mr. Rossi. I'm like, okay, bye bye, drop dead, bye bye.
I knew that ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, bye bye. So I'm talking to the people around the world about ideas, right? So I get this punk rock chick who has like 97 like nose rings and like three down below as well, okay? And she's telling me, hey Mark, don't tell anybody this, but I saw this French site that could really be adapted to what you want, but it has like wedding and all kinds of different dresses on it. Of course my first question is, let me get this straight here. You have almost every part of your body pierced, including stuff downstairs, but you're looking at dresses for girls, and you wear leather. Okay, this makes sense. But she just giggled. She goes, here's the site. Go check it the hell out. Okay, I'm like, all right. So I'm in the middle of the night. I'm looking through this damn wedding dress from a punk rock girl. This is the craziest thing I ever heard. But the moment I saw it, I was like, oh my God, that's it. That was the idea. Turns out, this French site, because they wanted to, I guess, save money, they found out that this new computer coding thing, which is now being called the French Mega Menu, can be used, which means that you take this Mega Menu that when you open it up, it gives you five different pictures and five different pieces of information and mm-hmm. even links, all built into one. So you can get each dress mm-hmm. has its own like profile and history. And I think there was different models like posing it. I mean, they went as far as showing how a dress would look on like five different racial women. This is how it looks on an Asian yeah. woman. This is how it looks on an African woman. This is how it looks on a European woman. I mean, it was pretty damn clever.
Mm.
So I found this dude. And I'm like, if you can get me the mega menu, figure out how to get this for me, we can compose an entire site based on that. And that's all I need. And I found the guy and we were able to, you know, a lot of times people, they sell pieces of these website technology for inexpensive. It's you're not really renting it or leasing it. You're just buying it, but you're just using it for your own use. And you give them the credit because it comes from their company, but that's it. And so we got that inexpensively, and he was able to simply code together an entire website based on mega menus. So I was able to put out a lot of books. Mm-hmm. You hit a button, it's really easy to see. It's unique. It makes the site look super expensive, and I don't even think mm-hmm. we spent like enough for a couple of cigarettes. Cartons, you know, in terms of the price. So yeah. I got something, the fraction of price that looks really fabulous and professional. And it all started off from a weird punk rock girl who has some strange piercings. Okay? So mm-hmm. this shows you how the world is. But if you want to do things creatively, sometimes it's not about, I got to invent something new. No. As you can mm-hmm. see from these two examples, two real life examples of what I've done, I didn't invent anything new. I took something out that was out there and just adapted it to what the hell I wanted. That was it.
Yeah.
You could do the same.
Yeah, that's true.
Figure out what the heck it is and go do it.
Yeah, there's so many things. And, you know, there's another thing that, of course, we didn't mention. I mean, there's, as a lot of people... I know a good friend, Todd Cirillo, who did a video for like a YouTube of him reading, and it's kind of got really cool and got a lot of things incorporated into it. I mean, there's so many things that you can do on platforms that are basically free that you can use and you can have out there. And, you know, it's no better time for you to get yourself to the reader than now, to be honest. It's not like you because we have the internet. It's a great marketing tool, and there's so many platforms you can use that ultimately it's really, if you embrace it, it really will help, and it's so awesome. And yeah, that's yet another platform that people use now.
In fact, I'm trying to figure out myself on how to get my first official commercial produced and put onto YouTube that'll talk about our show to get more people interested in maybe becoming listeners.
Yeah.
So I want to try to get that done. I don't know what it is. I don't know exactly what it involves yet, but I'm interested in getting it done and putting it out there, and it'd be a fun thing to do. I'm not looking to be on YouTube on any regular basis. That's, to me, kind of boring. I'm not interested in looking at my ugly face, and I don't really think anybody else will either. Audio is better, especially when you feel more comfortable that way. But I do know that YouTube can be a good marketing tool. I need to figure out how I can approach it and, you know, and do something with that. So we're going to definitely do something like that.
Yeah. And then again, you also, with YouTube, you can also make videos where you're absolutely not in them. You don't have to be on camera and things like that, because I know that, I mean, you know, we all have our things in the works, and it's just a really good marketing tool, because a lot of people have mentioned it to me just because, you know, I don't know, I guess maybe the booming voice, but I don't like being on camera. But yeah, you don't have to be on camera to get these things out there. And so, yeah, there's just so many avenues. It's like recently with the using the Instagram thing, which I definitely don't like taking pictures. But you don't necessarily have to be in front of the camera. There's other options that you can use, as I do, with all the memes and stuff that now we put out there that has generated, you know, interest in projects and mags. And so it's like all of these things can be used in different forms, and they're all free, basically. So, yeah, it's a really good time to be able to market And there's a lot of people that are really embracing it big time. And even on a small scale, it's still great because you're reaching people somehow. It's going to reach somebody if you get it out in enough places, share it in enough places. All it takes is one person really digging it, then sharing it, then another person. So, yeah, it just it can really be a good thing.
It can be. It's just about trying to get your head around doing it and then going out there and making it part of your creative habits to be able to do a little bit of marketing here and there. And you'll see some of the effects on that. When I was talking to James Nettles when we had our interview a couple weeks back, I told him about the future of writing and one of the shows that we had called that, and how I was telling people that, you know, it's only a matter of time over here where the difference of book selling is going to be the difference on whether you wanted to market it or not. And it means that a lot of times the material that might not be all up to snuff is going to do better than the ones that just didn't market at all. And he was telling me, no, that's already here, man. He goes, that's actually here. That's not just a future thing. That's here. That's happening more and more now.
Yeah.
And he was giving me some of these examples of that. And no one's here is trying to be a Debbie Downer or a Danny Downer or, you know, or any of that. But if we're going to be helpful to you in a practical way, not just a bunch of Hallmark hopes, but something real, well, we have to be straight honest then about what is going to be required out there. You know, you don't have to run the Boston Marathon to sell your poetry book. But if you think you're going to be sleeping in bed all day, well, that's not going to work either.
Yeah. No, that's the unfortunate thing is you have to be honest with yourself, and you have to be able to kind of get out there and do these things. And like I said, even on a little scale, even if you really don't get that much, every little thing will help. And it's just, to me, it's far easier now than probably I would say it was. I don't know. I can't speak for every generation, but I mean, to me, it's such a great marketing tool to have the internet now that, you know, it's much bad stuff out there. It's really a good thing to have because that's how I get my work out there. Because like I said, not everybody can be at readings. Not everybody's near a major scene. I've definitely got my work in a lot of places. I mean, even look at this, this show. We reach, you know, a lot of people, and there's so many avenues now that you can use for things and embrace them and they can benefit, you know, and help other people as well. So it's all a good thing in my mind.
Well, he was telling me some stuff that I wasn't completely aware of. I knew that as somebody that might want to put their own work out there, that you should already have a website and you should already have things to start promoting it, even months before it comes out.
Yeah.
That really, you should be doing that. But he was telling me that he was coming across writers that not only was the marketing plan important for them to be able to get the book on, well, guess what? The publishers themselves have their own idea of marketing plan because, you know, I don't know if people know this or not, but from any publisher, I don't care if it's a mid-range one or the big ones, it could be a year or longer before you ever see a book out there. It takes that long.
Yeah.
So they didn't want you sitting around making writing another book, so they were literally having these people engaging in the public already on social media, on the sites they helped even create, so that people could start talking about the book and drumming interest in it. So they already had the writers on a marketing media blitz before the book even came out, which could be 6 months to a year later. And they were committed by contract to do these things. So, again, the world has changed so much. You don't get to just sign this thing and go work on your next book or take a long vacation. No, you're out there already promoting stuff that hasn't even come out yet. And that was required by them. So it's really changing in so many different ways. But he was mentioning that more than ever that, you know, there's just no way around going about writing these things or doing these things if you didn't already have a plan and a presence and a way to keep people interested in going. I mean, I was talking to this girl right now. She's doing a romance novel series, and her first one has come out. But she already had Facebook marketing on it for like 3-4 months beforehand. Various pictures of the romantic novel and its cover and some stuff from inside, mm-hmm. and tidbits of the storyline and pieces of it mm-hmm. are rarity. And I think she had like games for yeah. people to do and trivia and just keep mm-hmm. keep people interested. But she was doing that for months on end before the book came out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing is, yeah, you really do have to do a lot of, you know, there is a lot of legwork.
Yeah,
a lot of
dog and pony
done,
stuff that you got to do. There's just no way around it.
Yeah. But it definitely doesn't have to be miserable. And to me, it's interesting where some people it's not, but I can understand that. To me, it's just part of things. And I know I just enjoy it. So it's because, like I said, not everybody is near some big reading thing where they can do that. But definitely, if you can do readings, do those. Every little thing helps. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, as long as people are saying it, I don't care. It works, you know. There's also, there's a lot of places that have, like, these poetry boxes now that are real popular. And if you can get one of those in there, it's got a little mention, just even a mention in your bio. It's another thing. Mention in your bio when you submit to these magazines that you have something coming out.
Yeah,
you have to.
It's important to do. And there's a lot of places out there that you could be doing things too, folks. A public library is a really good example. Usually they have a multimedia section of the library. Oftentimes they'll do readings and they'll do all kinds of different enactments of things. And remember, if you get involved with them to do something like this, not only are you going to be helping on doing the publicity to get people over to that event, but they also do that themselves because the libraries will have an email list that they'll send out, hey, on Thursday evening, Jennifer's coming down to talk about this, you know, or they'll have a newsletter or something. So even their own internal publicity is working for free to help you to get people over there to do things.
Yeah.
It's really important because, again, your tax dollars are paying for that. When you live in that community, why not it help you? Make it help you.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're not trying to do another, like, you know, 50 Shades of Grey type of book, where they can't let you read something like that in public, I guarantee you most of the stuff that you read and that you wrote, you're gonna be able to communicate to people about it. It's not gonna be anything too crazy. As long as you're not too way out there, then you're fine.
Yeah, you don't want to bring your pyrotechnics to the library.
For the most part, almost everything that we're doing, people can get something out of that. So it's another great place to go. You know, and it's not bad that to make your own book tour, you know? Don't wait for somebody to go do that. Do it yourself. Your book tour could literally be a couple of libraries, a couple of coffee houses, you know, maybe a restaurant or a bar or something that might want to let you come and undo something. There's simply plenty of places. Some communities have recreation centers where they have an arts and crafts thing, where they have an arts thing that you could do something. You can do something there.
Yeah, there you go.
There's a lot of places that you can do stuff with that have spaces.
Yep.
I know that, and I don't know if it's going to be impossible in every community, but some churches have space where they rent out to people to do things. They'll have an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting there, a Drug Anonymous meeting there, single moms, all kinds of various causes and groups that will rent to do things. No one says you can't get something over there where you could do a whole ensemble of stuff about your writing and either rent something out or ask them if they can you can use the space maybe on an off night that they're not renting anything. Let me know and I'll go over there and do something and you know, let people know and they can come over there. Remember, it's a good place for you to get a hold of people. People don't mind going to a church place; they feel safe. Something that's cool and artistic. It already is going to have a parking lot for you when people drive up. You can get some refreshments.
Mm.
Boom. You got something going on over there. Lemonade, cookies, and let's rock and roll. You know, it's not that difficult. So there's lots of creative, interesting things that you can do. Most of them don't cost much at all. Many of these things don't cost anything. The coffee shop don't. The bar don't. The library don't. The church might, but you still might be able to get a deal. But there's still plenty of things you could be doing. And make these things up yourself. Make it your commitment to let people know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing, is that most of these things we talked about do not cost money. I mean, and advertise them, and you know, if you're going to do, you know, like like you were saying, book your own little tour. I mean, it's there's so many cool things that you can do that, and the more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. That's the whole thing. It might be kind of a pain in the neck sometimes, but I mean, it will benefit you. It's you're just doing it, you know, you're doing it to get your work out there. If you believe in your work so wholeheartedly, I don't think you'll have that hard of a time.
You don't. You know, you can combine so many different things. I saw some girl, she had some camera, I don't know if it's a GoPro, that she configured to something with a tripod and her phone, and she literally broadcasts live on Facebook as she's doing these events. So not only is the event having some impact from her, but she's hoping that you know it's gonna reach some people across on the internet, and maybe that's also gonna help in putting sales out. And she'd have she'd have a little platform where she had it built. She just put it over there, and it has her name, and it has a site where you can get the book at. So this way, as she's broadcasting it, it's telling people where they can get the book right away. So there's so many different things that you can do. Don't forget, folks, that for a small investment, you can create refrigerator magnets, pens with your name and an internet site on it. Bookmarks are super inexpensive. You can get 500 of them for a couple of bucks. Go to eBay, go to any place, you can get these things. You know?
True.
So you can hand those things out. Yeah, even if someone doesn't buy your book, even if it sounds weird about, well, I don't know, man, I just did this thing and the guy didn't buy my book, but I'm going to give him something I bought. Yeah, you are. Because he came, he heard what you had to say. He's got the bookmark in his hand. He might be using this, and maybe one day he hits it and buys it. Maybe he does it that night. You don't know. Maybe somebody else does it. But every time you put something in somebody's hands about your stuff, about who you are, that's just that much of a chance that something else might get sold. Just because you don't sell anything on Thursday night doesn't mean it's not going to happen that weekend.
Yeah, and that's another thing. There's companies, just like you have places that do print on demand and all this stuff. You have some places that will do all kinds of things. You don't, whether it's shirts, whether it's, I don't care, anything that advertises something. I mean, you know, bar glasses, you name it. There's places that will do that, that it won't cost you, anything. In fact, if you look at, another mag, I mean, I don't know if you mentioned name or not, but they had a whole merchandising section at one time where they, in fact, I've got I know this is going to be a shock. I have a flask with the mag's name on it. Once suited them, because when you're edgy, sometimes that's, you know, that's some cool stuff that you can do. And there's so many ways that anything is getting the name out there, getting the, you know, whether you have to kind of look at yourself like a brand. And I don't know why people think that's such a bad thing to say, but you are. You're selling your product yourself. So, yeah, there's anything that gets where you're getting, you know, people are seeing it. You know, they're going to say, hey, what's this? You know, so that's a good thing. I don't care where it's at.
And you stumble across one of the key things that make people hesitant about marketing, as writers especially. It's that product. I don't want to refer it as a product. I don't want to think about it as a product.
Yeah.
What is it then, huh? What is it?
Yeah, exactly.
You're selling something, and you tell people it's just a book. People hear that all day long. They might not even care. Yeah, whatever. Okay, have a good day. You got to say something more than that. This thing will take you to a magical land. This thing will help you lose weight.
Yeah.
This thing will take care of that toenail that's bent in 14 different ways on your left foot. I mean, whatever. But they got to be able to get something interesting to, I can use that. Oh, yeah. Think about that.
Yeah.
Maybe this could be useful.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I've seen my good buddies at 6'12". They put out one thing I think is real cool. They have, once again, another, they have everything as far as their marketing archetype goes. But magnets they have. It'll be like really quick poem with advertising the book on it. And they just leave them everywhere. It's just like some little thing that you're getting into people that get to people. I mean, who knows? Who knows what will connect? We don't know. We put it out there, and if we can find something that connects and draws people to your website, to your book site, or wherever it is, you know, ultimately you have to be selling something. But it's, it's a good thing. And don't kind of embrace it. I mean, it can be really fun. It can be really creative. I find it a really creative thing, finding new stuff. So,
It seems to be a big impasse for a lot of riders, this whole product thing. I don't understand where they're coming from in this at all. I had someone tell me one time, I don't like the idea of the ebook, Mark, because a lot of people I know, they don't even know how to use them, and they don't really care. But more than that, if I get something in the ebook form, I now know it's a product, where if I get something as a printed book, it's not a product. I'm like, what the hell does that even mean? That's one of the dumbest things I've heard. And a lot of writers think this way.
Yeah.
Writers, if you think this way, you're thinking wrong, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking prejudicial, and you're hurting yourself, because you're not hurting me. You can make fun of the ebook format all day long. I'm not moved. Mm-hmm. We sell them.
Yeah.
They're interesting. They're valid. They go out there in the world. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Hmm? You're just having a product debate while you're still in your grandmother's basement on, you know, the third chapter of the novel you're writing. I don't see what you're doing over here that's helpful. You're supposed to be trying to help yourself, putting things down that could help you. Well, that's not helping yourself. That's shooting yourself in the foot and then crying, Mark, why can't I walk up the stairs? I go, well, the reason why you can't walk up the stairs is because every other minute you're either stabbing yourself in the leg or you're shooting yourself in the foot. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
You need those things to crawl up the stairs, folks. So.
Yeah, you need to have, because not every, you know, here's another, you know, good argument, too, is, you know, just like I have ebooks, I have, you know, I will have a printed book. You know, it's you have to cover, to me, you cover every market. If I can have, I don't care where my work is, as long as people can have access to it. So, no, I didn't write it to put it in a drawer and never look at it again, you know. And it's, the ebook is just is valid because it can go everywhere. There's some places that I know in particular, like Amazon, cannot sell to, you know, and there it's kind of like you want to cover all your bases and have it, anything you can have that can get you out there, that you're going to have in some kind of edge and some kind of advantage, use it. You know, don't be so stubborn that you think, oh, no, I'm not going to use that because it's not, you know, this is, like you said, it's a completely different era. And the more people you can reach, the better.
Yeah, you close your minds to things. You're going to close your minds to all the various doors that you could be walking in to get something done for yourself. Think about it this way. An ebook is enormously flexible, even more than a print book. Doesn't mean it's better. It just has different opportunities inside of it. And one of the things that an ebook can do more than a print book can do is it can become its own marketing device. You can have a back page that literally puts every single site that ever has any of your work on there for people to know about. You could put a page on all the past books that you have now out as well, even from that publisher. Some publisher are well enough to give you advertising for another publisher that they're not involved in. They don't care. Put the whole history of your books out there. You won't have a printed publisher ever do something like that. There's so many interesting things you can do, interviews, all kinds of stuff that you can add in the ebook that'll help marketing you that you can't do with a print book. So in itself, the ebook can become a marketing device, and it can work in concert with a print version as well. You can have both out there doing two different things for you versus just sticking with one. So the idea of just sticking with one way of doing things is not really the smartest when you could be doing more than that. And you have to do more than that. This is a complex world and people are busy. If you're going to get their attention, you know, you have to do it. Plus, quite frankly, I've come across people that say, listen, Mark, I like reading. I like writers. I like writing. I like to read a lot. But I can't afford to pay $20, $25 for four or five books. I can't. I don't have that kind of disposable income. But I can take that $25 book that I could have bought, and I can use it over with ebooks, and I might get 10 books out of it.
Yeah.
So there's a real cost effectiveness. Imagine someone saying, Mark, I don't have $150 to buy this many books. But for $25, if I could buy 10 of your books, so that's great. There you go. You got stuff sold, or different types of books that they can read, you know, at their own leisure whenever they want. And so there's some real good, I think, selling points for ebooks. Not against print books, it's just they have different opportunities. That's all.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I just, like I said, I like to cover every base possible. And every project I got is completely different, you know, and that's what I like. I have some really, I'm fortunate to do some really awesome ebooks. I have, you know, the print thing gonna happen. So it's like, to me, I want to cover every outlet possible. And I don't, it's like saying, it's like, to me, when people don't want to do that, it's like saying, well, I already have enough readers. I mean, I want all the readers possible. There's never enough, because, you know, you got to hope that people, you know, want the product that you're pushing, you know, and want the, you want to enjoy your writing.
I can't take people seriously when they say stuff like that. I got enough readers. You're just taking things for granted, or you're just lazy. Mm-hmm. You know, I had someone tell me the other day, a couple months back, you know, I can't really be on your show to interview, Mark, because I got so many requests for that sort of thing. So, you know, I'll get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, great. I'm running over a month now in terms of shows.
Yeah.
Literally, as we're recording this show, I already have stuff for May. I mean, so if I'm even wanting to entertain you again in the future, I mean, how many months is that going to be before you're even going to get on and have your show, you know, broadcast? So it's a crazy thing to tell somebody. You can't fit an hour in your time to do a show. And of course, the second thing I have to wonder about, do you really have that many? Are you just simply a weirdo? Because that's hard to believe. Okay? You can't take nothing for granted in this world, especially where it concerns literature and art. And you got to take every advantage you get. Okay? I don't care if next week you have 7 scheduled interviews. If number 8 comes along, you figure out a way to get him in there. You don't tell him next month, or I'm just so busy and they love me so much. No, you don't take anything for granted. Things happen all the time. You might have 7 scheduled today. By next week, 3 of them could drop off for whatever reason. What do you got now? Things happen all the time. So, I mean, you got to be able to be smart about taking things when it gets hot, taking all the things that are out there and using them to your advantage. And there's just no way at all where, you know, you can't make yourself ready in your own home for an hour interview. This is not like they're flying into LA to do an interview and you don't have the time for that. This is not that at all. I'm sure you have time.
Yeah.
You have time to do that. If you got time to, you know, goof off at McDonald's for an hour, you can hang out with me.
I mean, you can never have too many avenues. You know, we've said it 100 times. It's the absolute truth. And, you know, another thing is that with having a readership, I don't mean that bad in any way, but yeah, you say, well, I've got, say, just by, even at a low end, that you're like, if you have 100 readers, well, then you better have a couple hundred, because we don't know how many people are going to truly, you know, it's once again comparing things to likes. That's not really. Likes are not what merit what you're going to sell. So, yeah, take advantage of every kind of opportunity you have.
You have to, folks, and because, you definitely have to. Yeah. John is definitely right about that, because everybody that says they love you doesn't mean they're going to buy the book.
Yeah, exactly. You always want to, because you don't want to just reach your inner circle of fellow writers. I mean, ultimately, you want to reach the people that are not doing that, that, you know, I want to reach anybody, because I don't write just for a certain group of people. That's not what I'm doing it for. I mean, ultimately, you know, you may write for yourself, but I do write for it to be read. That's why I try to be the way I write. So, and yeah, take advantage of everything you can and have as many outlets as possible, have as many readers, and always try to be, I'm always trying to get new ones. That's why that's why you'll find me in different e-zines, marketing stuff. You know, now that's it's the truth. It's a marketing tool. You want to get people interested in what you do, you know?
You have to. And one of the ways to doing it as well, it's one of the natural ways. I do this on this show a lot when I talk to people about episodes. I simply say the same thing over and over again. Hey, if you like the show, you know, make a comment, hit follow. But more important than that, share it with somebody you know that might like it too. Remind people, I got a book out there.
Yep.
This is where you can get it at. Can you share and remind some other people? Talk to friends. Hey, can you mention on your Facebook network that this book is available? Can you talk to your friends at work or your friends at church or your friends at athletic organization or a community place or whatever? Remind people to talk to other people about it, to spread the word. That makes a really big difference, because if you think they're going to do it naturally, a lot of times they don't. It doesn't come across their mind. I'm always shocked by that. To this day, even what I'm doing. You know, I got somebody that I asked, hey, can you share this news with the show? And they did. And I could see that some more people came on board because it was a particular country. So I can tell. It's not hard to tell, right? But I asked them third month into the show because I just forgot when I was starting off to ask them about that. And so I got more into the habit of doing that. And guess what? It didn't become natural for them to do that. Only when I asked them did they finally actually spread the word. So who knows how many more months of people I could have gotten or listened to by then, but that's just what it is. You have to take the responsibility to do that. And don't expect that the more natural, instinctual things are going to happen just because you think they should happen. Well, hell, that guy really likes me, and he said my show was really great. And so, yeah, he should be talking about it for months now. And then you find out he hasn't talked about it at all. Not because he's lying to you. It just didn't come to him to do something, to put it as part of his own habit. You have to push that. You have to push that. And you have to push people that like you and people that love you and all of that so that they can remind others. Because remember, they have different circles and they have different networks that you might not have. Not everything that's running in their life is part of what your life is. So if you want some greater influence, well, you got to have them tap into who they know.
Yeah, that's the thing, and I know that definitely my good close friends over at Whiskey City, Ryan and Ryan Quinn Flanagan, and of course KW Peary. I mean, we share each other's work. I publish, but I mean they definitely KW is incredibly good at that, and pushing other and sharing other writers' stuff too, and it just. It helps. Every little bit helps because they do have a different network. They're reaching a whole different group of people that we may not have. So if you can do that, and especially with your friends, you think it would be a given, but it's not always. And sometimes maybe you just should ask, you know. I mean, if you're truly friends with people, I mean, that's the thing, that we are actually friends. So it does help a great deal. I know I've got a lot of recent people I wouldn't never probably would have seen my work before, but I had in the early stages, they were helping me, and they do now, of course. Yes. But you know, that was just one of those little things that really helps a lot of people.
You have to market to everybody and anybody that's out there, including your friends. And you can't make these assumptions. Yep. Marketing is about being direct into people to make some contact with them. It's not an assumption. An assumption is not marketing. Remember that old joke about assumption? It makes an ass out of you and me. That's what it does. I did that, not realizing it, for a couple people, you know. And you can't even like say to yourself, I'm really disappointed that he didn't share that. I mean, really, why are you? He doesn't have a busy, complex life, so for some reason you have to be on his top three things to do that day. No, you might want to remind him. Hey, you mind when you get a chance, you know, tell a few people? Oh yeah, sure, that's right, cool. That's what you have to do. You cannot make an assumption. You just can't. You didn't write the book. You didn't write the book on an assumption. You can't publicize it that way either.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just anything, little thing you can do to help, especially your friends. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't, but I mean, it's all those things help. All those, and you know, you might never know somebody who doesn't, just not aware. Here's the thing. There's a lot of people that will probably be into what you do. They're just, but if they don't know about it, you've got to be able to kind of bridge that gap. And it's really easy to do now. That's the thing. How hard is it to hit a share button? It's not very hard to share it to your network.
Not really. And not at all. But you have to just try to go as many different avenues as possible, like we talked about. Advertising on your email, doing the various social media things, the various functions, a library, coffee shop, any else that you can possibly think of to do, because you can't count on even one of that many things is going to pay off. I mean, like I said, you can have, I talked to somebody behind the scenes and they're like, yeah, Mark, I got like 400 like likes on this book on so, and I got like five people buying it. So that doesn't mean a whole lot. I mean, it's nice, but it doesn't, it's not really going to translate into sales.
That's likes, you know, that's one thing that probably emphasize. I think some people really think that a bunch of Facebook likes generate sales, and that's nonsense to me. I don't see any, you know, Facebook's great. Yeah. But use it to your fullest advantage. Don't just count on, well, I've got a bunch of, cause a lot of people are hitting likes on things they're not even reading. You know, they're just going through and hitting likes. I mean, I'm probably guilty of hitting like. I have to be careful sometimes, you know.
Well, I hear you.
I'll be just hitting, speeding through and just trying to be supportive and hitting likes on things that are depressing.
It's just
and
not
like,
committal.
Oh,
it's a non-commitment, folks. That's what it is. It's the same thing as you're talking to somebody that tells you about how taxes have to be raised and we got to take care of all the world, you know, on our dime. And as they're saying this, they're reading the news on the phone, stepping over the homeless person to get to the sushi bar. So we're not talking about people here that are committed to anything real. they're off the grid and they're not connected. So why would you think that they're going to buy anything from you, you know?
The likes are, it's just kind of nonsense. And the reads, when you really get people reading and commenting, I would say comments, when people do, even when they comment, is more invested than hitting the button. I mean, get your work out there. That's the main thing. Get your work out there any way you can. And of course the zines, the journals, whichever you want to call them, get your work out there so people can read it and sample it. And put forth the effort, and it's going to be worth it. It'll pay off. It really will.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right, folks, the last thoughts for all this is simply this, okay? Because, you know, this has been a bright and fun show. It's not that it's not that dark and dreary or anything. It's not like we're talking about sexual harassment or jealousy or anything, okay? It's still fun and entertaining, but it is critical for you as an artist and a writer to do some form of marketing. I don't suggest that you need to do all the things we're talking about. I mean, it's great if you can and if you're willing to, but if you could do even some of them, you're still going to have some impact on yourself and on the world that you occupy in. So this way they know what you're doing out there. Because for me anyway, and maybe you don't feel this way, and that's fine. You have a right to your own feelings. But my feelings as a creative person is I don't want to labor oftentimes into the night, maybe even taking time away from people I love, and then I don't do anything about letting the world know about that. It's almost like betraying yourself. It's like it's like an artistic suicide. I don't want to do that. I don't recommend you guys do that either. So hopefully this show will give you some impetus to explore the things we're talking about. Take some of these ideas and use them because they're real. They're not just a bunch of things to fill the show out. They really work. We got plenty of people. We know their work. We've done things. I've done things that actually work. And I'm not even the more technically crafty person. I'm really not. But I still made some things work just by trying to explore around and figure out a couple of things. So you could do the same thing. You might be a lot more talented than I am in these sort of things. But go do them. They can definitely be done. All right, folks, until next time, John, thank you very much for joining us again on this wonderful show and providing your perspective and your experience. This guy probably markers more than we do. So, you know, you might want to talk to him about some of this too, all right? All right, folks, until next time, God bless, and thank you very much for joining us.
God bless.
Thank you for listening. Please follow the show and visit our blog at strengthtobehuman.blogspot.com.